broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Before we jump into the on-again, off-again, the open at St. Andrews, trying to finish day two. Indeed, if you've been sleeping or working and just tuning in now to see what's going on in golf, they haven't finished day two. The wind gusting so strong at the home of golf, particularly on number 11, that the balls simply will not stop oscillating or moving. So they plan to finish day two right about now, day two now, and then day three tomorrow, and day four with the champion crowned on Monday. But before we get there, I'd like to say aloha to our EWGA Hawaii president, Christina Harris, and her wonderful husband, Tal, for all of her work as president of EWGA Hawaii and his work as our rules official for the past 2 years. They're heading out, transferring from Hickam to Texas. We will miss you, Christina. You've left us a wonderful template, and we appreciate you very, very much. Aloha. So coming up, we've got Shane Bacon talking, of course, the Open at St. Andrews, Fox Sports golf correspondent, right after this.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company. Also buy Creative Plumbing, whether a building, shopping center, store, custom home, or townhouse. Call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
All right. First of all, I want to tell you that the Poipu Bay Golf Course, president of Kuala Lumpur, is going out this morning. There's a 9:10, a 10:20, and an 11:30 if you'd like to play. You probably won't get very close to the president of Kuala Lumpur because, from what I understand, he is heavily guarded. And they're probably not playing either, but may you hit the sweet spot every time, sir. Now, Shane Bacon, golf writer, Fox Sports. We've been waiting to talk with Shane Bacon because he was someplace else, and then that someplace else dissolved, and now he's landed at Fox Sports. Welcome to the show, Shane.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Veteran, CBSSports.com, Yahoo Sports golf writer. He was co-host of The Turn on the Back Nine Network, and he's a scratch golfer, okay? Some people tell me that he's so good he could be on tour, and you are good. So I want your opinion of what's been going on in the past 2 days when the wind started picking up and the play was suspended, but not everybody got the word that it was suspended. It was suspended on 11, but others were playing. It was brutal out there. From a player's perspective, Shane Bacon, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, it was I thought Paul Azinger did a great job, you know, with his commentary for ESPN just about the situation, because it seemed like certain groups were playing on the whole, certain groups were not. I mean, as you mentioned, the 11 balls couldn't even stay on the greens yet. You know, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, obviously two of the guys that are vying for the championship, continued on. You know, Dustin made a sloppy bogey, I think, on the 14th, you know, after hitting right up there by the green. I mean, you know, those are the moments. I mean, it's 72 holes, sure, but, you know, the things I look at is those moments are something. If Dustin loses by one or gets in a playoff, you know, that's the moment where you go, you know, he would have won or you know, he would have been in a playoff if things were different, if they would have given kind of word to everyone around. So I thought it was weird, honestly. I mean, I would have been pretty frustrated. I heard Jordan and Dustin on the telecast mention they were frustrated, you know, obviously. Dustin's saying, I don't even know why we started, and that's kind of why I was thinking the same thing. I don't know why they would get going if they realized and knew that certain holes, and really all the holes, couldn't hold golf balls on the green.
Yeah, and when we talk about couldn't hold golf balls on the green, I'd like to just say one thing about Dustin Johnson. I mean, here's a guy who's been so close, what, four times to winning a major, but there was the bunker fiasco. Wasn't that Whistling Straits when he found himself in a bunker that wasn't clearly marked? He loses in with three putts at the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. There was another incident where he took a two-stroke penalty. The guy seems to be like every time something happens, and it's not necessarily him.
Yeah, I mean, you start to think about a player being snake bit. I don't necessarily always believe in that kind of stuff, but obviously the Whistling Straits thing, and then last month. At Chambers Bay, I mean, having a putt to win and three putts, you think either he's going to win or we're obviously going to go to an 18-hole playoff and he three putts and hands that over to Jordan Spieth. It has been rather strange, and you wonder, if he's finally there mentally, or the element's going to hold him back from finally winning a major. It just seems that, if he gets out there and obviously the frustration has to have been gone by now. I mean, it's been hours since then. You hope that he can just get out there and get back to playing golf because, he has played the best golf of anybody so far, at St. Andrews, I think, and it's very, very clear. So, the thing is, though, I mean, Dustin's got to play in this. Paul Lawrie's got to play in this. Uthe's got to play in this right now. Guys like Danny Willett just get to hang out. I mean, they're done with their second round. They're waiting around. And it goes back to the whole reason why I love the British Open so much is, it really does depend on the draw. I mean, there really is a luck element involved in playing in this championship more than any others because if you land in a good draw, then you have a lot better chance of going out and doing something great. I mean, we saw it in 2010 here at St. Andrews. Obviously, Rory shoots 63, then gets kind of a bad draw, goes out and shoots 80 and really nasty windy conditions.
Yes.
And you're seeing it kind of now right now with some of these guys having to go out back and forth, go out, stop, go to the range. And that can wear on you mentally just as much as it can your golf game.
Yeah, I just heard the rules officials yelling at me. Dustin Johnson's fault. He did stand in a bunker. He did have yes, but that bunker was poorly marked. I mean, there were just things that happened to Dustin Johnson that you scratch your head and go, God, the guy does need to get his mind totally into it and not take things for granted. At the same time, they're happening so often to him in a major. It's like, whoa, when are you going to be able to break through? You are so talented. All right, for the greens, this number 11, that people don't realize about the rules of golf. If a ball is moving on the green, you can't hit it because then you're hitting a moving object. Can you explain that?
You can't hit a ball that's oscillating when it's in play. I mean, you can't hit a ball that's moving around. And we nearly saw Ustazen do it. I mean, the 11th, not only is the 11th one of the toughest holes at St. Andrews. I mean, I wrote a thing on FoxSports.com about the three toughest shots at St. Andrews, and the tee shot on 11 was one of them. But when you get up on that green and it's whipping off the water there, it is such a fast green from back to front. You can't hold the ball. I mean, they're not going to stay there. And so basically you're having to mark and remark and remark and remark. And, it's just, I mean, again, the issue being you're having to add more elements, not only mentally but physically, into a game that's already tough and conditions that are already tough. And I think Brendan Todd made a great point in his interview with ESPN after his round, where he said, you're sitting there hoping you can just hit the ball without it moving. I mean, when you're thinking about that, you're not necessarily thinking about your line or the speed you're going to hit that putt. Now you're thinking about, I hope I don't get a penalty. And I mean,
right,
that's when it can get really, really tough.
Right. And so for folks, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, huh, it's not his fault that the ball is moving, but you can't hit a moving ball. So it's not you doing it. You didn't move the ball. The wind did. But if you strike that putt, it's moving. If you think, okay, it's moving, it's just enough, I can do this, you can't because you will be penalized. About that 11th green, Steve Elkington on Twitter thought that in part the pin positions could have been changed. And there was a pin position, he thought, on 11 that could have been made so that they could have played. could have continued to play. Another comment that comes up is the speed of the greens at St. Andrews are inappropriate for the conditions that can come up and usually do when the teeth of St. Andrews comes out, that they've made the speed, let's say 10, 11, that is normal, you know, on the PGA Tour, but they should be running at 7 or 8. What do you think?
Well, that seems to have been the debate. You know what I kind of learned, Danielle, is when you have a long delay, people will try to find anything that can change or anything to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there filibustering the golf tournament. You know, the greens at a British Open are always a little bit slower than any other major we play. That being said, if they were a little bit slower, if they were something around the 8 or 9, maybe balls would stay. You know, I do think that just like I think that golf has been obsessed with extending golf courses, making them longer, because for whatever reason that makes them tougher, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think green speed's the same way. Just because greens are lightning fast doesn't always mean that that's the right way to do it. If you made them playable in all the conditions, then you would never have to worry about situations like this. And if you think about it, this is the third time at St. Andrews that we've had to have stoppage of play because of wind. You know, if the greens were playable in everything, then that wouldn't be the case. So I agree to what extent about it. I think that, you know, it's easy to say all this stuff when the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour. I mean, it's tough to play golf. When it's blowing 50, it's tough to do anything, you know. So you're sitting there thinking of ways that golf could be happening. But they're not going to change it now. That's just not going to happen. So while maybe they'll be something they'll look at, you know, for future opens, I just think that if you had players come to something where the greens are rolling 8, you know, when they're on tour normally rolling on 11 or 12, and then, you know, at a U.S. Open, they might be running 12 or 13. You know, now you're talking about really, really changing it up, which I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, but it would just be so different. I'm not sure that the R&A would go for it.
I understand. Well, part of me thinks that it's the R&A showing that they can make those greens run just as fast as the U.S. greens, which is not necessarily traditional speed for Lynx golf, okay? So it's like we're gonna make those greens so awesome, which of course you can. You mow them. What does it take? Like you have to walk 7 miles to mow some of the greens at St. Andrews,
right,
the double greens?
Right.
I mean, it's insane. But I blame them in a way for, you know, why are you changing up Lynx golf just to be slick like the U.S. and then get angry when we call it the British Open? And I have a problem with calling it the British Open. It's the Open. But U.S. media outlets seem to be pushing everyone to start saying the British Open. What's Fox Sports' position on that? What's your thought?
Well, I it's always really funny when this comes around because, you know, my point is simply I normally call the British Open the Open because that's just kind of how I've always said it. But when I write it, I always write the British Open because, you know, for American fans, it's kind of the way it's thought of and interpreted. And I wrote a piece before the week. I actually wrote the piece last year, but I sent it back out. And let me just tell you, if you want to rile up some people across the pond, write something about calling it the British Open because people were fired up. You know, I mean, it's just a silly thing to get upset about either way. I mean, if you call it the British Open or the Open, who cares? I mean, a lot of places over there, the Guardian, for one, calls the Masters the U.S. Masters. They call the PGA Championship the U.S. PGA Championship. I mean, I understand it. It makes sense to me. I mean, that's fine. It's like I don't get up in arms about it. But I will say some people on Twitter were not very happy with me when I wrote that it'll be called the British Open in our stories, and here's why.
Yes. No, I mean, folks in the U.K., well, they take it very seriously because the game started at St. Andrews in the 1500s, right? Wasn't it something like that?
Exactly.
And it was the first Open. It was the Open. They started it there, and they're very proud of that. They're holding on to their traditions. And we expect to hold on to traditions in golf as well. So I don't blame them. I understand where they're coming from. By the same token, they've got to keep to, in my mind, you know, what's up with making those speeds of the green like that? Make it Lynx golf, and then we don't have to worry so much about the wind. What do you think about moving the pins in a different position on 11? Do you think that's actually possible? You've played at St. Andrews a whole lot.
Didn't you caddy?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing they did to the 11th green was they remade some of the parts of the green so they could add different hole locations for that green in particular. You know, if you look back in past British Open at St. Andrews, you know, there's only real two hole locations they ever use on 11. Now we have a couple of different ones. That being said, you know, during play, I mean, you can't move the hole location for certain players just because of the wind. And it's just one of those, they just had to wait it out. I mean, that was the only thing they really had to do was, at this point, green speed, everything like that, was just wait it out till balls could stay on green. And while this was kind of a cluster, you know, that's just what you had to do. I mean, that's just that was the situation that were presented with and what, unfortunately, we had to deal with. And, you know, I mean, it's not the worst thing. I mean, you know, people that work on Monday are probably upset they're going to have to, you know, might not get to watch the final round or they might have to sneak away and watch it somewhere at work. But, you know, as long as they get it in and it's at least playable and it's at least fair to a lot of people, to everybody in the field, and fair to a point, then it's probably the right decision. I just think, obviously, there was stuff that could have been done before that might have presented, you know, that prevented it, that, you know, as you mentioned, green speed being one, obviously maybe put a whole location in a flatter area where balls weren't going to blow off the green. But, I mean, again, that this is hindsight. I mean,
yes.
This is who they brought the dance with, you know. This is who they're going to dance with. And now they're out there playing golf, and I'm just hoping that these guys don't get too penalized for being on this, you know, for this side of the draw, because it sure looks like the conditions are probably 4, 5, 6 shots harder than when guys like Danny Willett and Mark Warren are out there.
Yeah, we talk about Danny Willett. It's like, Danny Willett? Who is Danny Willett? Somebody said he's kind of like the European version of, Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, I mean, he's a young player, but, I mean, you know, if you don't know him, you know, you don't pay a ton of attention to the Euro Tour. I mean, he's number 2 in the Race to Dubai ranking, basically the FedEx Cup ranking for Europe. You know, he's played 12 tournaments a year. So he's played great. He has a couple of wins in his career. You know, he's a young, solid player. I mean, I think he was a sleeper pick for a lot of people just because he's played so well this year in Europe. I mean, he's behind Rory in the Race to Dubai rankings, and he's ahead of guys like Uusthuizen and Bernd Wiesberger and Brennan Grace, who had a great, obviously a great U.S. Open. So, you know, played well, and he's a good European player. And I just think, you know, when conditions get tough, you see players like this at times, you know, got it through, you know, get the round in, and that's what he did. And he looked out on a solid side of the draw. And now, as I mentioned, he's enjoying watching this on TV at a winless area, enjoying his tea or coffee while these guys are out there battling trying to make par.
And for him, for the player that's hanging out and watching, does that cool him off? Does that give him too much time to think? Psychologically, what's the benefit or what's the harm in not being able to continue with your pace? Here he is, and he's on his game. He wants to continue driving forward, I would think.
Well, you would think yes, but I guarantee if you ask him, would you rather be out there right now or sitting in your hotel room, he would pick hotel room. You have to sit there and look at it positively and look at it like, I got lucky. You know, there's always a lucky side of the draw. I landed in the lucky one. I'm in the clubhouse at 9-under. You know, Dustin might get in at 9-under. He only has a couple foot holes left. He might not. And he could be the outright leader after 36 holes. That's where you want to be. So, if you have a day and a half where you don't hit a shot, I mean, it can definitely probably cool off your golf game, but you just can't look at that way. You have to look at it where I have a chance to win this British Open Championship, the one I've always wanted to win. And I'm in as good a position as I'm ever going to be. And if I have to sit here for 4 days and not play golf,
yeah,
that's just how it goes.
Yeah, and I'm lucky.
I don't play in an arena.
I'm lucky because I didn't have to put up with that wind. I got the good draw, which is always the case. You just never know, either morning or the afternoon, somebody's going to get a better draw. And that's the part where you're lucky. And there's nothing to do about it. I was reading your article, Spieth will have plenty of competition at the British Open. You've got Bernd Wiesberger here, Shane Lowry, Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen, and Ricky Fowler was your number one. So when, in hindsight, you know, looking back at what you wrote back on, was it Thursday or Wednesday, what are your thoughts today?
You know, I mean, Fowler has played fine. He hasn't made a lot of putts, but he's played fine. I mean, obviously, guys like Adam Scott and Uusthuizen are right there. You know, you sit back and look at any picks you make and wish you would have picked somebody like Danny Willett at this point. But, and, you know, Dustin was a name. You know, I try to avoid the names that everybody's going with. You know, guys like Dustin, guys like Jordan Spieth. You know, everybody's going to pick those names. So, You know, I try to avoid it. I mean, Dustin is just, you know, when the weather's been fine, he has just absolutely overpowered this golf course, which really, if you think about it, is how the past three champions have played it. I mean, the past four. I mean, John Daly did it in 95. Tiger did it, obviously, in 2000, 2005. And then even Ushazen, who can bomb the golf ball as well, did it in 2010. I mean, bombers have a huge advantage at this place. I mean, even Bubba Watson was a name I thought would have a chance. Obviously, it hasn't worked out this week, but I thought with his length and the way he can move the ball right to left, he would have a chance to play well at a major that I think he will struggle at the most in his career. You know, that hadn't worked out, but being able to hit the ball far at any tournament in the world, this one to me is the one that is the biggest advantage.
Excellent. I'm so excited for you. I mean, you're with, you know, Fox Sports, and you're going to be covering certain events for Fox on site. And you've landed with a company that's really driving forward with the game with the USGA contract. Awesome.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. I mean, obviously getting to do, you know, the digital work at the US Open and US Senior Open, hosting those digital feeds was really cool. And then, you know, being able to be on the telecast during the women's four ball was exciting. It's been a lot of fun. It has been a cool last couple of months. Obviously, things have settled down since the women's wrapped up, and we'll get gearing back up around the AM. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a cool thing to be a part of, kind of this first team and bringing golf kind of in a different way. And you know, excited for the rest of the year with them, and really excited for 2016. Because I know there's some great championships there with the USGA, and they're all on really, really fantastic golf courses. I'm excited about the game.
Excellent. We're talking with Shane Bacon. He's now with Fox Sports, and looking forward to talking with you in the future. Thanks so much for being on the show, Shane.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
Aloha. We're going to come back, talk with John Huggan. He's with Scotsman.com, GolfWorld.com, and he's got the UK. He's from Scotland, so we've got the UK viewpoint on everything coming up. But first, we'll take a break and thank the people who make this show possible. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screen.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing.
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Heat up the ball, be grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it.
Did I?
Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Tom Watson finishing golf Friday night in the gloaming, almost completely black, the sky with Ernie Els, who encouraged the RNA to finish despite the darkness so as to give the fans an opportunity to thank Tom Watson for his years of play. Tom Watson truly appreciates his fans. We should be able to have that for you in just a second. I kind of surprised Raph. Oh, we can go back to that later, Raph. He was very, very wonderful to listen to when he talked to his son about leaving the tee on 18. He just said, let's not even worry about it. Let's just enjoy this moment. And now the moment comes where we get to get the UK side of everything. Talk with John Huggan, golf writer with Golf World, GolfDigest.com, TheScotsman.com, and he has his own podcast with Lawrence Donegan. Welcome to the show, John.
Nice to be with you.
Excellent. I was listening. If you go to on Twitter at the Min Sports, is that it?
It's
help me
by,
with this.
By the Min Golf. Yeah.
by the Min Golf. But if you look for the link to listen to the podcast with John Huggan and Lawrence Donegan, go to By the Min Sports. Then there's the link, and it'll take you to SoundCloud, and then you look for their podcast. And it's really, really good, very insightful for those of us who really want to hear about what's going on inside the game. So, John Huggan, your thoughts, you know, we're talking about 11, number 11 being the stop sign at St. Andrews with the wind blowing. How strong was it? What were the conditions like? And what did you think about the game so far?
Well, the 11th was supposed to be the, you know, the new 11th was supposed to put an end to this this kind of thing happening. But unfortunately, it has happened again. In the slight defense of the RNA, loath as I am to defend them for anything just about, but the pin positions for today were all basically on the high spots on the greens because of the weather forecast for yesterday morning, which was heavy rain. But the heavy rain passed through quite quickly, and then the wind came, so they were left with pin positions that were probably unsuitable for the conditions that prevailed for most of the players. And eventually, well, obviously, we saw what happened yesterday. They had to finish.
And we had people waiting, four sets of players waiting on 11 because the winds were so strong, the ball wouldn't stop. It
yeah.
just kept moving.
Well, the problem with the bigger problem is not the wind. The biggest problem is modern green speeds. I mean, the speeds of these greens on this golf course in these conditions, I mean, you can't put the two together. You can't have a wind, a strong wind, and really fast greens on a links. It just doesn't work. But if we could go back to the green speeds that were appropriate on this golf course in the past, or in any tournament course in the past, and if you watch film of even the Masters from the mid-1970s, I mean, the players are absolutely hammering their putts. And the greens were half the speed that they are now. And the modern green speeds are a reaction, in my mind, mostly to the distances that these guys hit the ball. And so the officialdom has to make the greens faster in order to keep the scores up.
So if they'd gone, instead of having a 10 and 11 on the stump, it should be, what would you go with?
Oh, well, 8 maybe. You know, maybe that would be as much as I would like to see. But, you know, it's like everything else, though. In modern golf, if you trace it back far enough, you come back to the same conclusion. It's just that the biggest problem at the highest level is the distances that these guys hit golf balls and what the golf courses how the golf courses have to be set up to counteract that. We end up being right on the edge of sanity, if you like, and we end up with situations like we've had here for, you know, the last day and a half.
So the golf ball goes too far. The equipment is too good. These guys already are at advantage. They could be playing with less good equipment, but the equipment is good because we want everybody else to play the game. What is the answer there with the equipment?
Well, the answer is to have two balls, one for them and one for us. I mean, I'm all for us, you know, getting the benefit of whatever equipment you know, is going to help us enjoy the game a bit more. But if you put the technology we have today together with really good technique that these guys have, you end up with a situation whereby they're just too good. They hit the ball too far for the, you know, old-fashioned courses, if you like. In St. Andrews is the ultimate old-fashioned course. And the things they've had to do to this golf course to maintain, you know, a reasonable level of scoring is almost offensive in some places.
I think the last time they had a Monday finish was back in 1988, and Seve Ballesteros won. Now, Seve Ballesteros was a master of strategy, of creativity. Do you think St. Andrews has lost that part of its allure, you know, the strategy of playing it, because these guys are so good with the equipment they've got?
Well, that's the danger, is that, you know, these wonderful bunkers that were such, you know, hazards in days gone by, a lot of them have become kind of obsolete because the balls, you know, these guys are driving right over the top of them, and there's only so far you can take the tees back. I mean, we're now right at the limit, and some of the tees are not even on the golf course. So, you know, the one golf course in the world that I would argue that should never be touched is this one, but It's now almost becoming a caricature of itself, sadly.
That's sad. I mean, that
it is.
You just and yeah, because it's such a beautiful course, and it's the history behind. I mean, it's the home of golf. How can the home of golf become a caricature because of the equipment? And it's just an interesting dilemma. I don't think the guys who are on the professional tour would give up their, or maybe just make it at certain events. It's a really tough question. John Huggan, a golf writer, how long have you been writing golf?
It will be just over 29 years, can you believe? It makes me feel old.
No, it's experience. So, as a golf writer, you know, and with you must have seen a huge change as Tiger Woods came about and the media attention. Then the change with him falling off. Have you noticed? Is it because of there not being a star? And I don't take nothing away from Jordan Spieth, nothing away from Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, all of the young guys that are coming on strong and doing fantastic things, but they still have not captured the mainstream media yet. Do you see like less attendance at these events?
Well, I'm not sure that golf isn't just returning to where it was before Tiger. I mean, the guys you mentioned are all very famous golfers. Tiger was not only a famous golfer, he was the most famous sportsman on the planet. And I don't think a golfer had ever been that before. And I think it will be a long time probably before another golfer takes that title again. So you could argue that we're kind of going back to where we belong in terms of golf's profile in the media and in the wider public. So I wouldn't panic too much. I think Tiger was he represented a spike, if you like, in the golf's popularity that went far beyond the norm. And I think it'll be, as I say, a long, long time before another golfer approaches his level of celebrity.
I was reading one article about from, I think, a publication that you work for, Golf Digest, and it was like, Tiger's done. That's it. I declare Tiger's done. Do you think Tiger should just be done and be done with it? And as someone said to him, are you going to retire? And I think he said, I don't have my AARP card yet. Do you think he just should walk away from the game, or should he fight through it?
Well, to be honest with you, I've written a column for my newspaper tomorrow morning in Scotland, Scotland on Sunday, saying that my feeling is, sadly, that Tiger is done as a serious contender at the very highest level. I think that all the statistics tell you that he's not even a good average PGA Tour player right now. He's certainly not a contender to win majors. He's not even a contender to win PGA Tour events. It's a question of whether he wants it enough, and all the indications are that he does not. I mean, he claims to be practicing as hard as he's ever done. I don't think he is. The evidence is certainly in his play would tend to suggest that. He doesn't putt as well. He doesn't do anything as well as he used to do it. And I think it's going to be, if he plays in the PGA next month, which I'm sure he will, I think that could be it for the year for Tiger. I don't see any reason why he would play on. He's not going to be in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's going to have to, if he is going to play, he's going to have to play in some mediocre PGA Tour events or play abroad. And that market is dried up for him to a great extent as well. I don't think the appearance money's there either. So I fear for the future of Tiger. He's going to be 40 in December. I think it might just be over for him at the very highest level.
Well, I agree with you. I hear so many people say the only way that you can get your game back at that level in competition is competing. And should he have done that earlier? You know, now he says, I've got to keep playing, I've got to compete. And it's like, well, I heard everybody say 2 years ago, Tiger, that you should be doing that, and you didn't.
Yeah, well, to compete, he's got to be competitive, and he isn't. It's as simple as that right now.
Easy. We've got, let's go back to St. Andrews, and I don't have a TV on, so I'm not sure where everybody stands yet, but we are still playing, right?
They are playing, yeah. They'll be playing for at least another couple of hours, I would imagine. There's lots of daylight. That's one benefit of being in Scotland at this time of year. It doesn't get dark till about nearly 10 o'clock.
Okay. On the whole that I was listening to the podcast with Jeff Ogilvy, I think it was he a guest of you,
yeah.
Yours with Lawrence Donegan. You said that the best, it's a terrible course, kind of like Chambers Bay. It's a terrible course at St. Andrews for spectators because so often you can't
yeah.
see what's going on, right? But you
yeah.
said underneath
well, the trouble
the
11- with St. Andrews is that you're always on the outside of the golf course looking in. You're never in the middle looking out. That's the trouble.
Okay. It makes sense in a sort of strange way. It's kind of like arena golf, again, where you have to look
yeah.
from above and down, but you don't have the height. At Chambers Bay, there was this walkway. You could actually sit up there and look down with binoculars. And I don't like watching golf with binoculars. It doesn't
no,
give you the
right.
overview. Right. But you said that under the 11th hole grandstands is the perfect place to be?
Well, not under. No, the back row of the grandstand at the 11th tee is actually the best spot in the golf course for spectators because from up right at the top of the grandstand, you can see the whole of the loop, which is holes 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You can watch six holes from up there. It's a fantastic spot. But unfortunately, you have to get up early to get into that grandstand. There was huge queues to get in there. The other day when I had to wander out and try to get in there and just gave up because the line was so long.
They were listening to your podcast.
I must have given them, I give away my secrets, yeah.
The other thing that he said is St. Andrews is special because of the town of St. Andrews, that it's a wonderful town to be at in addition to playing the Open at St. Andrews.
Well, it's a great walking around place, St. Andrews. It's actually, if the truth be known, it's more of a university town than it is a golf town. I mean, the place is busy with students most of the year. They're gone right now, obviously. But if you come here, you know, when the terms are on, the place is alive with students from all over the world. And a very large number of American students come here every year as well. So that, plus, and you throw in the usual golf tourism, and the place is very busy. But parking spaces are always at a premium, that's for sure.
Excellent. Before we go, I have one final question. I mean, I'm watching Jason Day. We know Jordan Spieth, of course, everybody's, hoping that he gets three in a row, going for the Grand Slam of golf. Tiger Woods has the career Grand Slam. That means having won all of the majors back to back to back to back. If he gets the Grand Slam, Jordan Spieth, that means he's won all of them in the calendar year. That's something Tiger Woods did not accomplish. Who are you watching? Who do you think will come to the top?
Well, to be honest with you, if Dustin Johnson doesn't win this golf tournament on this golf course, he should be ashamed of himself. I mean, the huge advantages that he gets, well, certainly over Jordan Spieth on this golf course, just by how far he hits the ball. I'm not sure that Jordan Spieth can compete with Dustin over four rounds. And I'd be very, very surprised if Dustin Johnson... He certainly will be right there at the end. Let's put it this way. If you beat Dustin Johnson, you'll probably win the tournament.
Thank you very much, John Huggan, for being on the show with me today. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Okay, my pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
Aloha. We'll talk again soon. We're going to come back and talk with Mr. Bob Bupka. He's at, of course, the Open at St. Andrews. And I've got a short, very small window with Bob because he's got to be on Talk Sport real close to the top of the hour. So we'll take a quick break and be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii. Your Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive.
Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking?
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Let's get right to it, because Bob Bupka, voice of golf, golf reporter on Talk Sports. 3 million people are waiting for him. Co-host of the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn Radio anytime, and it's powered by Golf Week. So listen to the Grill Room, and you can go to thegrillroom.com and get the link anytime. And, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad I have a short window. That way I can't fall out and hurt myself.
You know, we've got like 12 minutes, Bob. It isn't that short.
But anyway, I tell you what, I'm so excited because I think I've come across an invention that's going to revolutionize the way people do things. I came over here, and, you know, every time you come to Europe, it seems like the accommodations are not quite what we're used to in the United States. Here, I got in my shower, and I went to close the shower curtain, and it clung to me like saran wrap. So I figured out the next day what I did was I soaked down the shower curtain, then I turned the water on, and I got in, and whap, I was clean in an instant.
The shower curtain and washcloth wrapped into one. It's something they should think about developing for all of us. Well, you know, when you go to Europe, the rooms are smaller. And, you know, you find out that you shouldn't bring two suitcases because there won't be any room for you.
No, you're right, Danielle. You have a choice. Either suitcase stays in a room or you stay in the room.
Exactly. So, you know, deal with it. I don't know where we put the golf clubs. Could you please store those in the closet somewhere? So where are you staying?
I'm staying at the dormitories at St. Andrews University. You know, they know a little bit about education because the university, I think, was opened in 1840 or something like that. So it's been, or 1440, I'm not even sure. It's the third oldest university in the world.
Wow.
So it's very impressive, great education there. And, you know, the village of St. Andrews, and I've been educated to the fact that if you're in Scotland and your town has a cathedral, you're then a city. So I have to say I'm in the city of St. Andrews now because it does have a magnificent cathedral right here in town.
And there you go. You at least call it a town.
It's a city. It's a city.
Officially. I understand that it's a wonderful, just being in St. Andrews, in addition to having the Open played there, it's perfect because of just soaking all the history in as you walk the streets and feeling that, you know, people have been there for hundreds of years, and, you know, who knows what conversations were had, what ideas were sprung there through those conversations. It's wonderful. I love history. I'd love to be there. And speaking of history, Tom Watson and Sir Nick Faldo, their last Open tournaments. So does that mean it's like that's it for both men? They won't be playing in any more events where the youngsters play, the under 50?
Well, Tom Watson officially said it's his last Open, and he wanted it to end here at St. Andrews. Nick Faldo has been, you know, waffling between this is his last Open at St. Andrews, but he may play, you know, another Open.
Mm.
We'll leave that. But getting back to the history part, and, you know, and I know the passion that you have for the sport of golf, Danielle. I mean, if you came here, you may never leave because it's just incredible. And I found out an interesting thing today when old Tom Morris built this golf course, the 18th green was a very small green, and he was very dissatisfied with that. And so he said, we have to expand that 18th green. So he got his workers starting to work on it, and all of a sudden in the back right portion of the green, they found a huge amount of skeleton bones, and they had used it for a burial ground for people that died of the plague. The workers said, hey, we don't want to be messing around with those bones. And old Tom Morris told them, well, if you don't want to be messing around with those bones, you're not going to get paid. So they went on and built the green. So players now, when they're on that back right portion of the green, you know, they better be careful. They might not make many putts
Wow.
back there.
Wow, that's interesting. So there's it's a graveyard. In addition to being a park that people walk in with their dogs on Sunday, picnic, and it's a golf course.
Yeah, it's
that's multi-purpose.
Yeah, it's closed on Sunday. So, but it's going to be open tomorrow. Obviously, we're going to try and play round three tomorrow, round four on Monday. The only hiccup in that situation, Danielle, the weather forecast for tomorrow morning is not a good one. But the good news is Alex Miceli's been able to play 244 holes of golf since he's been over here. He even occasionally comes in the media room to write a story, but mainly he's scurrying about to play different golf courses. He wants to play every one twice. And this came from Jim McCabe, who works with him at Golf Week, although none of the people that work with him at Golf Week have seen him this week, so I wouldn't guarantee he's going to be on with you later.
You will. Oh, really? Oh, the bugger. Well, I understand he got called off to some RNA news conference.
Oh, yeah. He got a personal invitation.
Yeah, I see. I see. Okay.
You know,
he's important. He's one of the important people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, the RNA came and escorted him into the meeting, saying we couldn't hold this meeting if we didn't have Alex Miceli. At least that's what he told me. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
All right. I want to know, what did you think about letting – I mean – when they stopped play on number 11, and I've asked this question of the two, you know, John Huggan and Shane Bacon, when they stopped play on number 11, the other players didn't know that the play was stopped. Should they have stopped play for everybody? Did the word not get out to everybody that they'd stopped play? What was that? Was it miscommunication?
Well, there's some confusion on that. You know, when you call play because of darkness, you have the option of finishing that hole, okay? It's not, you know, if it's called because of lightning, then, you know, you have to stop. You don't have an option. So some players opted to play a little bit more, finish their hole. Other players did not. Hideki Matsuyama is playing with Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth put a mark on their ball and said, I'm not playing anymore. Hideki went ahead and played and poured the hole. Dustin Johnson ended up bogeying the hole when he resumed play this morning. So, and the other confusion involved a little bit. There was some accommodations made to make sure that Tom Watson would get a chance to finish last night. They did not want the huge galleries that had come here to St. Andrews to see Tom Watson's last hole to have to come back at 7 o'clock in the morning. The gallery wouldn't have been nearly as big. So they were a little bit flexible there, but they didn't do anything wrong. And you know, I applaud the RNA for allowing what they did allow so that Tom Watson, the great one, five-time Open champion, could finish in style, and he did it last night. And it was a very emotional scene when he came over Swilken Bridge for the last time. He called his son up, Michael, who's caddying for him, and, you know, there was not a dry eye in the house.
Wow, that's wonderful. I was very touched when he said, let's not worry about this 18th tee. You know, let's just go and enjoy the moment and take it all in. And that felt really, really good. And I that's what you've got to do. It's like, sometimes people walk around with their cameras, you know, and they're taking pictures. They're constantly focusing on framing the shot. And you don't really experience the moment. Sometimes you have to put everything away and just be and absorb and enjoy. So there's a time for playing. There's a time for working. There's a time for just enjoying the moment and feeling that. And he certainly took it. I've got somebody.
You know,
somebody's joining us. Somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody's. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Did he disappear? Is he? Are you there, Alex Miceli? Are you with us?
I'm here.
Danielle?
I hope not. Oh, no. You promised me, Danielle, I'd be on by myself.
Well, wait a second. At this point, I've gotten so many different instructions between Alex was going to be, and then Bob was going to be, and then so I just thought, I don't want to hold Alex up because he's such an important man that the RNA comes into the media center and escorts him into the this is what you told me, Bob, right?
Well, that's what Alex told me. They came and got him. Please tell Danielle I can't do a show right now. The RNA wants me in the media room.
See?
I'm surprised he's here. Hey, Alex, welcome to the media room. First time he's been here all week. He's been playing golf every day.
Danielle.
Yes.
Is it really necessary for me to be on the show with him?
Let me just back up just a second. Alex Maselli and Bob Bupka, they co-host the Grill Room Golf Show, okay? And it's powered by Golf Week magazine. It's on TuneIn Radio. And every week they have a new episode of the Grill Room where Bob Bupka and Alex Maselli sound off. And they don't agree with each other, hardly. In fact, I don't think I've heard them. One time, Alex, I heard you say I agree with you on that, Bob, and I almost fell out of my chair because I thought,
Alex picked Tiger Woods to win this week.
No. You can't put that in. Alex has been against Tiger Woods for I don't know how long, and you've been carrying the flag for Tiger. And,
Danielle,
yes.
I'm going to do you a favor, and I'm going to do your listeners a favor.
What's that?
I'm going to sign off.
Okay.
Give you Alex Maselli exclusively. I can't do you a bigger favor than that.
Okay, let me just ask you this. On Talk Sport, what is the one thing? Yeah, that's a UK audience, a completely different audience. They would die if you ever said British Open. What do they want? What are they most interested in? Is it Danny Willett?
Oh, sure. I mean, the whole countryside's excited about the fact that Danny Willett is in the lead, and he may end up holding the record. Alex may know this better than I will. He's held his second-round lead now, it seems like, for 3 days. So I don't know if that'll be an official record or not. But, hey, let me get off so you can enjoy Alex Maselli. Believe me, he's one of the best.
Bob Bupka, thanks so much for being on the show. Enjoy Talk Sport and all your people over there. Let's talk now with Alex Maselli. He's senior writer, Golf Week magazine, and co-host, as I mentioned, the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Golf Week magazine. And they do the show. Bob does the show with Alex Maselli on a weekly basis. You can tune into it and listen at your leisure. So, like you can with this show, if you want to hear it, you're turning off your car, you got to get to your tea time, just go to radiogolfclub.com. All of my shows, you can listen to Alex Maselli and I talk about the Open at St. Andrews, the home of golf. If you just go to radiogolfclub.com and hit the listen button. Okay, Alex, we're alone.
Finally.
Okay. We have about 15, 20 minutes. I may need to take a commercial break. You understand that because I know you do your own show and you take care of your sponsors too. When you look at, first of all, you just came out of a briefing with the RNA. Can you divulge what was briefed?
Well, they basically were trying to explain to you why they did what they did. First of all, why they started this morning, why they stopped this morning, the conditions as they were, what their plan is going forward, which I don't know if your listeners know, but the bottom line is we're going to be here till Monday. And I thought it was quite nice of Peter Dawson, who's the chief executive of the RNA, to explain the fact that under their rules they could actually stay till Tuesday morning. I don't believe anybody is interested in that scenario. Their plan is to finish this round, obviously, and to go ahead and start the third round tomorrow, finish that round, and then finish the fourth round on Monday. It'll be the second time that I know of that the Open Championship has been finished on a Monday. I have actually been to both of them. I was in 1988 at Royal Lithium, actually as a fan, and watched Seve Ballesteros coming down the stretch with Nick Price. at that that time, they had the third round on Saturday, and it was about an hour to an hour and a half into the round when there was a realization that there was no way that they could play the round with the weather that they had. They stopped the round, and they actually washed the round out. This was a little different in the fact that they were in the middle of the round, so you can't make any adjustments to the round when you're in the middle of the round. And that was why they didn't do that in this particular case.
Why don't you explain to me, because I'm confused, if the wind was as bad as it obviously was, and you know, it was stopped at 11, and everybody was backing up because the ball simply wouldn't stay still because the wind. Why did they even start if the conditions were that bad?
Well, they said, and I preface by saying what they said. They said that at the time they checked the situation at the 11th hole, which is the most exposed green there is, par 3 at the end of the loop. And they went ahead and checked that green out, and they were there for at least an hour checking it, putting it, and at that point believed that the 11th green was something that they could play on. And so if they could play on the 11th green, then the rest of the golf course should be playable as well. It turns out that once they started again, that they believed that the green speed changed by about, or rather the wind speed changed by about 6 miles per hour, which put it over the edge. Really what put it over the edge was the fact that Brooks Koepka was on the 11th green and could not put down his ball without it moving. They brought a second official in to see if they could get the ball to stop moving the pin. And at the time, when they then decided that they were going to give Brooks Koepka the opportunity to move the ball to another location, no closer to the green, or rather, no closer to the hole, Louis Oosthuizen on 13 was having a similar situation where he had the ball 3 feet from the hole. Then it rolled to a foot, and then it rolled 6 feet by. And at that point, they made the decision that the greens were unplayable, and that's why they stopped playing.
No, why didn't everybody stop? It seemed like some people were playing, some people were stopped.
Well, Brooks Koepka's issue on the 11th green took approximately 30 minutes to determine. And during that 30-minute period of time, yes, other people would be playing. And, you know, because they're not stopping because they're not having the issue. And that's why other people were playing while play on the 11th green was stopped. They were trying to deal with the Koepka issue.
Was how much of a detriment was that for people like the leader or the potential leader, Dustin Johnson?
Well, he had a pretty horrific situation at 14, which is the par 5. Part of it was he made a bad chip, but it was exacerbated by the wind and the conditions that there were. So, I mean, he clearly lost a stroke, maybe even two, because he was short of the green in two, which is a par 5, and made a 6. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a situation where that would probably affected him. There are some other players that it affected as well. I think not only at the time, but also, quite honestly, when they came back. I mean, the conditions aren't such that they're just, you know, they're pristine. They're difficult conditions. There are birdies being made. Actually, there was a hole-in-one made just within 5 minutes ago on the 11th hole, which is the hole that they had the most problems with. So there is scoring going on, low scoring going on, but it's a much more difficult situation, and it requires much more patience and concentration than it would have in a normal situation.
And so this wind is coming off the water straight at them at about what speed?
No, this wind is coming actually, if you were going back towards St. Andrews, it's coming from the right.
Mm.
It's actually the wind that you want because it's keeping the ball from going out of bounds. It's also down. It's also downwind for 18, and so we've been talking, both Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth drove the 18th green,
wow,
which had been previous to this on Thursday. You couldn't get the ball. You were hitting, you had about 100 yards left probably going into 18. Now they're driving the green.
Wow, that's amazing. This is where I have to take a quick break. Will you stay with me?
I will stay with you.
Thank you. We are KPUA. Let me start over again for the FCC. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. And now let's thank the people who make this show possible, including Alert Alarm of Hawaii Creative Plumbing and Poipu Bay Golf Course.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
That's kind of like St. Andrews. You know, it's a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden, all of the water just comes rushing down, and boom, and it's on top of you. And then the sun comes out, and it's gorgeous, but then the wind blows at you, so you just never know what's going to happen. I like when Tom Watson wasn't worried about that 18th tee, the hole. He was talking to his son as he was finishing. It was almost dark. Ernie Els, such a gentleman. I just love him. He encouraged the RNA to let it go, to finish despite the darkness, so that all the fans who were there to thank Tom Watson for his years of play could actually be there as he finished that 18. And this is what Tom Watson said.
You know, walking up the 18th hole, actually on the tee, I told my son, I said, you know, Michael, you know, there should be no tears. There should be all joy. There have been lots of wonderful memories we've had, we've shared here. You and I have shared some, and I've had so many others. But let's go up and go out and enjoy the walk up the last hole.
That's wonderful. I wanted you to hear that. And we're talking with Alex Maselli, Golf Week's senior writer. He is the man who created golf.com years before people thought of dot-coms being anything important. He's the co-host of the Grill Room Golf Show, and it's powered by Golf Week magazine. Alex Maselli at St. Andrews. It's huge when the Open is played there. Is it your favorite Open when it's played at the Rota, St. Andrews?
Yes, it's my favorite. There's no question it's my favorite. Unfortunately, this week is not going to be my optimum Open championship, but yeah, it is definitely my favorite, and you know, it's a great golf course. Unfortunately, the other part of this, bad part of this, Danielle, is the fact that we're not going to be able to play here on Monday, which is really disappointing. But well, that all being said, this is definitely the best one of the road, as far as I'm concerned.
This is what Alex is saying is that he can't get to play on Monday because the golf writers, when the tournament ends, they get to play the tournament conditions. And when you get to do that, Alex, how close to their scores do you get?
Well, we're not going to tee. I mean, I never play from their tees. That's ridiculous. But I do, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've shot 74 around here, 73 around here. So it's a place I know very, very well. I've probably played 30 times on the old course. And it's really just one that you just have to know. If you know what you're doing, you can get around here. And I think that's the best part. I just love playing here.
Do you think for us, the equipment and the improvements in the equipment are so absolutely essential for us to really enjoy some of the long golf courses they've created? The ball needs to go far for me. I need the huge golf head to actually have a nice large sweet spot. Do you think the golf course is being made a caricature of itself because of the equipment and the skill of these players?
Well, I mean, with no wind, there's no wind in soft conditions, any golf course is going to be at the mercy of the players. I don't think people really get. And I mean, you know, I'm also talking about the officials that do this, meaning the RNA or the USGA. I don't think they really get how good these guys really are, first of all. And so that's part of the equation. I think the equipment will certainly make a difference, but, you know, you give these guys a soft golf course with no wind, and it'll be, you know, I'm not going to say pitch and putt, but it can certainly be close to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, and would you dial it back, give them a different golf ball, make them play with something that doesn't go so far?
You know, I don't know if that's really the answer. I just think that the game is good as it is. I don't think you want to make it harder. I don't think that you want to make it harder for the, you know, I mean, the fact that the professionals play the way they play, that's great. I don't think it'll make it harder for you, me, or anybody else that's trying to come into this game, because the game is hard enough as is. So if we're going to make it harder, all we're going to do is going to reduce the amount of people that play.
Oh, no, I was going to make them play with the harder ball. We get to play with the good ball.
Yeah. You know, I just think that the game has lasted this long with all of us playing the same equipment, relatively the same equipment, and I don't think we need to be making drastic changes like that. I just think that in a particular case like this, I mean, you can just see that this golf course is built to have some wind. This is what links golf is all about. And if you have wind, it's going to be harder than if you don't. And I think that there's, to a man, when these guys come off at this golf course, and you ask them if they enjoyed themselves, at the end of the day, they're going to say they did.
Yeah.
Because this is something that we never get to really do.
Yeah. Do you like the greens, the way they've changed it and made the speed so fast at St. Andrews?
Well, it's typical to their speed. It's the green speeds that they have here generally. You know, look, there's a point where no matter what you do, you can't stop the ball from rolling. Actually, I asked Peter Dawson about this because in 2002 at Muirfield, the weather I thought was worse than this. Not only was it raining, but the wind was blowing, and it was blowing harder than this. And what Peter said to me was, is that in some of the research that they have done, they determined that actually the types of grass in different locales makes a difference. And for whatever reason, which he could not explain, the grass at Muirfield is not as susceptible to the ball rolling as the grass there. And so even though we had faster, similar green speeds and higher winds at Muirfield in 2002, and they didn't stop play, they had to stop play here.
Well, those greens at St. Andrews looked a quadruple cut. They were like tabletop, you know, like pool table, smooth, very, very smooth. And I was surprised at how smooth, how PGA Tourish it looked. That it just came as a surprise to me. So,
well, that's because they've had a considerable amount of rain here over time. So anytime you have rain, you're going to see green. And the other part of the equation is a lot of times when you have a lot of rain here, you're going to get much worse rough. But because it's been so cold here, the rough didn't grow. So you got green and no rough.
Got it. Okay. Does the rough come into play a lot at St. Andrews?
It could definitely. I mean, I can tell you that if they had the rough that they normally would have had with this kind of damp conditions they've had over the last 3 months, the rough would have been so penal for these guys. That you see them, a lot of them, where they're driving, 17 is a great example, they're driving it, going left, or they're driving it left, or even trying to find the second fairway. There's that patch of rough there. If that rough would be normal rough because of this weather, and they would have had, you know, because of the rain they had, they wouldn't be aiming for that. I can tell you that right now. There's no way in the world they'd be in there.
Right. Okay. Yes. So they're taking advantage of Mother Nature, not making it as difficult as it would be if the conditions weren't normal, which conditions aren't normal anywhere on the planet. It's incredibly hot and humid here. It feels like 96, you know, it's just amazing in Hawaii. And so it's just changing everywhere. But in addition to the golf course, let me ask you, now that we're almost finished with round two, and round three is tomorrow, round four is on Monday, who are you? You know, we talk about Dustin Johnson, you know, and if he doesn't win, given his abilities, there's really something wrong with him? No, we don't say that, do we? Who are you watching as maybe the person who could take him on?
Well, as you said, you know, Dustin seems to be the guy because of his incredible length over a golf course that doesn't have much rough. So he's certainly the favorite, I think, at this point. I like Louis Oosthuizen. I've always liked Louis Oosthuizen. He is right now three shots back at Dustin Johnson. He's got to play the 18th. He's finishing off on 17. I think he can get to 8 under, which makes him two back. I like him. I like Paul Laurie, actually, because he knows how to play in these conditions. And tomorrow we're supposed to get some rain and some wind, but not the wind that we normally have gotten. Not the wind that we've gotten today. So I like the way he's playing. I think Jordan is going to have to put a number together one day, and it'll have to be tomorrow for him to get a chance to get himself in the mix here. Adam Scott seemed very comfortable with the situation he was in, and he's only three back, and he had the week, he had the day off. And I don't think you can, I really don't think that you can discount having a full day off and not having to play, and then coming back and having to play the other 2 days. So I think that might be a benefit for Scotty as well. So I think those guys are the guys I like.
Yeah, and they've got, like you said, I mean, Dustin is still out there working it, as far as I know. And how about Steve Williams being back on the bag for Adam Scott? That's really, he seems to add the competitive fire that Adam Scott doesn't necessarily seem to have naturally.
Well, he, it was interesting. Adam Scott was brought in to interview him yesterday after shooting his 67. And he talked about the fact that how he had to basically beg and plead Steve Williams to come back. You don't normally hear players talk about the need to beg their caddy to return. At the same time, most people will tell you how caddies aren't as important as I believe they are. And in this case, clearly Adam Scott has validated the fact that Steve Williams is a very important part of his ability to win a major championship.
Awesome. You know, it is such a pleasure talking with you. We need to do this more often.
It's really up to you, Danielle. I don't make your schedule.
Okay, good. I won't hesitate to call on Alex Maselli, Golf Week senior writer, co-host of the Grill Room Golf Show with Bob Bupka. A tune-in radio powered by Golf Week magazine. Thanks, Alex.
Everything was good there except for that Bob Bupka reference at the end.
I'll remember in the future.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you, Alex. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
I've never had an eagle.
Heck, I've never had a birdie.
I would not recognize just for fun of it.
I've never played a round of golf.
But I support the first tee.
It's teaching my daughter important values.
It gets them off the couch.
He's more patient, focused.
Self-confident.
He's just a happier kid.
At the first tee, we teach kids important values they can take with them from the golf course to their communities and to the rest of their lives.
I didn't know a little golf ball could make such a big difference.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Every week you hear thefirsttee.org, and did you know there's a First Tee Hawaii? And right now we've got Family Golf Day coming up Saturday next weekend. I think if I've got my weekend straight in my head, although this year is flying by, let's bring into the clubhouse Kaylin Anderson, the executive director of First Tee Hawaii. And Ken Zitz is joining us as well. This whole show has been completely not what I planned, as guests changed everything. Spontaneity is the most important factor in radio. Welcome, guys.
Hey, good morning, Danielle.
So let's see. Now, we've got Family Golf Day, Saturday, July 25th. It starts at 9 in the morning and goes until 2 at Hawaii Country Club. It's an open house. What do you mean? Who wants to start?
I'll go ahead. Saturday, yeah, the 25th, Hawaii Country Club, what we're going to do, put on a day of activities for the kids. We're going to have a lot of games, chipping, putting activities for the kids. It's going to be free 15-minute lessons for adults, kids as well. We're going to have informational booths for our program sites. We have sites all over the state. And then we're going to have an equipment yard sale, used clubs, some shoes, golf balls, bags, some new junior sets that we're going to be selling. And then food and drinks. We're going to have some hot dogs, some cotton candy, some ice cream, shave ice. It's going to be a fun day for everybody, so hopefully the family can come on and learn more about our program.
Oh, I like this. A 15-minute golf lesson that's free, and then I can get the discounted nine-hole play after two. So I can come a little bit later in the afternoon, get a lesson, but I better get in line because, you know, a free golf lesson. It's Family Golf Day, Saturday, July 25th. Starts at 9 until 2 at Hawaii Country Club. It's open for family and friends, kids and adults, all ages, free 15-minute golf lessons, a yard sale, food and drinks, discounted 9-hole play after 2 o'clock. And we've got programs coming up real soon. It's starting in August. These are first tee programs. Ken Zitz, this is across the state because of your hard work.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Yeah, and Kellen has taken over the reins of executive director the last couple of years and doing an outstanding job. And he has Steve Small just joined our staff, and we're expanding and, you know, trying to reach out to more kids and trying to get more kids, you know, from lower-income families involved with our program. So we just have a grant from the Friends this year for all the military youth throughout the state to participate in our program, which is really tremendous. The Friends, over the years, Friends of Hawaii Charities have been very gracious to us. On the Big Island, Nanea Foundation, Charles Schwab, his foundation has been, over the past 6 years, providing funding for programs on the Big Island. So we appreciate, you know, these generous grants we're getting to help us reach out to more kids and giving the program a little or no a nominal entry fee.
That's wonderful. Now, are we on all islands now, First Tee?
Go ahead, Kellen.
Yes, we are on all islands. We have 14 locations, but we are on the Big Island, Kauai, Maui, Lanai, and Oahu, and Molokai as well. We have a small program on Molokai, so we're on all the islands.
If you want to find out more about First Tee Hawaii and you'd like to get your child into the program and have fun playing the game, all you have to do is email Kaylin Anderson at kanderson@thefirsttheehawaii.org. Really easy. K Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, @thefirsttheehawaii.org. The programs that are starting all across the islands in August, where they can find out more about where those programs are being conducted, what golf courses are involved, or what places they're being held. Also by going to a website, thefirsttheehawaii.org?
Sure, that is correct. We have a list of there, all the program sites. We have 6 sites on Oahu right now, starting at Hawaii Country Club, Ho'akalei. We have it at Bayview, Hawaii Kai Golf Course, Hickam for the military youth, and then out at Turtle Bay right now. So kind of spread out all over the island of Oahu. And you can go on there for the list of the other program sites on the other island.
And that's perfect. That's perfect. So when, you know, people, the first thing that comes to mind for a parent is, I don't have money for clubs. You know, how am I going to get my kid with clubs? Does everybody have to have golf clubs?
No, they don't need anything. We have everything provided. We have golf clubs for different size youth. We have golf balls. We'll give the participants a hat and a shirt. We just ask they come with covered shoes, and we'll take care of them from there.
So if I show up a T-shirt and shorts and I'm barefoot, I need to have shoes.
We can probably find a way to get them some shoes.
Well, you know, local style. I couldn't put shoes on my kid forever. Yeah, he didn't even like Crocs. All right, so this is for children. How old?
We go from 7 to 17, but we just created a smaller program for 5 and 6-year-olds. For the little-age kids, we use our Snag, our oversized plastic equipment. So for 5 and 6-year-olds, we can take those ages, but our regular programming starts from 7 the 17th.
That's great. I love Snag. Snag is so much fun. I want to have Snag Golf on the show. I just found out how to get in touch with them again because, you know, even an adult, somebody who has never played the game, can really enjoy trying to hit the ball into the mouth of a gigantic hippopotamus that's pink.
And we're going to have that at the Family Golf Day. The big hippo will be there at the Family Golf Day. So if you want to enjoy some games and activities, we will have that.
See? And see, and the thing about Snag is the ball, doesn't it have like Velcro on it?
It does. It sticks to all the targets, bullseyes, there's different flags and other targets that it makes it really fun for the kids and adults, like you said.
Yes, I know because I did it. yes, I did. And Annika Sorenstam was here, and she was at Kapolei because she's, of course, ambassador for the Pacific Lynx International. They were having a family day, and there was Snag, and I couldn't resist. You just can't resist. You see this gigantic pink hippo. You just can't help yourself. You just want to hit the ball at, you know, and it's fun. And the club of the Snag Golf is so big. It's got a very large sweet spot, and it's comfortable. So children really get to feel comfortable with these things, and it doesn't seem so intimidating trying to figure out how to grip the club. Isn't that interesting? You know, so many people don't realize that the grip is the most important part of the game, how you hold the club and getting comfortable with the position that the club head is in to actually come in contact with the golf ball. It doesn't make sense. If you try to make sense out of the club head position with the ball as you look down at it, you're a mess.
That is true.
So having someone like Kaylin Anderson, over at Hawaii Country Club, an open house for family and friends, and it's the Family Golf Day, Saturday, July 25th. That's Hawaii Country Club. That's right up Kunia Road, right?
Yes, it's the golf course on Kunia Road as you're headed up towards Schofield on the right-hand side.
Yeah. So if you're up Schofield, it's really close. Waiawa and the North Shore, it's not far at all. It's kind of, and it's not that bad of a drive as long as the H1 freeway is behaving. I need to check and see whether they're doing any construction work. Ken Zitz, I think this is a brilliant idea, this ambassador card donation program that you have. And now we're halfway through the year. A lot of people may say to themselves, tell us first about the program.
Well, the card we've had now for a second year gives you an opportunity to make a donation. We're not selling anything. Right now, it's $100 in January. Right now, because we're in mid-year, $75, you get the Ambassador Golf Card. You can play at 18 golf courses on here in Oahu. It's $30. It has green fees and card. And they may charge you the 4% but tax, but it's really a great deal for, one, the first tee. It's a fundraising opportunity for people. For the players, they're saving money. You know, normal rate might be $50, $60. We're paying $30 at all the golf courses, all 18 golf courses here. They're on our website. You can do it through our website or call Kellen Anderson at 202-6456 and do it on phone telephonically. We just send a check into the first tee to our address, and for $75, your name and address, and it's really great. There are just a few minor restrictions. You know, some courses not on holidays and all, but getting pretty good. Kellen's been working with the courses. The courses like it because it's another revenue opportunity for them. The golfers like it because they're saving money, and we love it because it helps us fund our programs.
Exactly, which is why if you have a child and you'd like to go and get them into the first tee where they can learn about being confident, being courteous, being honest, having integrity, good judgment, perseverance, respect, responsibility, and sportsmanship. All of those things are the fundamentals in the first tee. So you want your child to get involved, but you're afraid, you know, I don't have all the equipment. You don't need equipment. They've got the equipment. You need shoes. They need shoes. They don't have to be golf shoes. They can be tennis shoes. In fact, you don't have to wear golf shoes to go play golf. In fact, golf courses probably prefer it. If you didn't have spikes, then you won't hurt the greens. So don't worry about all that stuff. Just go to, well, you can either call or I don't have that number that Ken just said really quickly, but I do have this K kanderson@thefirsttee.hawaii.org. Thefirsttee.hawaii.org. And you can also go to thefirsttee.hawaii.org to find out about the Ambassador Card donation program. You can find out about all the programs that the First Tee is starting in August all across the island and the Kauai and Molokai and the Big Island and Maui. Did I leave anybody out? I don't think so. I think I covered all the islands. And you need to go to Family Golf Day and have fun with the gigantic pink hippopotamus. And that's on Saturday, July 25th, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's at Hawaii Country Club, right on Kunia Road. It's open house for family and friends with free 15-minute golf lessons, golf activities for all ages, a yard sale, food and drinks, and that discounted 9-hole play after 2 o'clock. One more note. You know, maybe you're somebody who's been in golf for a long time and you're getting close to maybe retirement. Maybe you're retired and you'd like to do something like, you know, get involved with kids because kids are energizers, little energizer bunnies. You can't help but feel energetic when you're around children. You could get into the coaching training. What kind of skills do you need, Kellen or Ken, to get into the coaching training?
Go ahead, Kellen. No skills really. What we're going to do, we're going to help you out, train you, and teach you about what we do at the First Tee. A lot of our volunteers, we just ask them to help out and run activities and just make sure the kids are safe. That's one of our main things, keep the kids safe and have fun. So you don't need to be a golf professional. You don't really need to know golf. You just, if you have the passion and you want to come out and help us, then we can kind of lead you in the right direction. But we are going to have a training the following day. Sunday, July 26th. If you need more information on that, you can give me a call or email or, you know, visit our website.
What's your number?
202-6456.
I'm writing it down. So if you're on a neighbor island, you have to dial the 808. But it's 808, then 202-6456. 202-6456. This is a whole lot of fun. I think I got to put this on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Facebook page, I'm with my grandson. So, and it's one of those open pages. You can see everything that's on my page. It's not like you've got to, you know, friend me.
Okay.
And yeah, and it's cool. And then you can go to The First Tee Hawaii has a Facebook page, and they should have everything there as well. Guys, so much fun talking with you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
And absolutely a pleasure, and I hope to see you on the 25th. I think I can come out there. By then, I should have recovered.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate all you're doing, and it was interesting listening about St. Andrews, the golf course, this morning.
Yeah.
I played with my son a few years back.
Wow.
Awesome experience. You have to get in a lottery. Nobody can get on. You can't get a tee time on it unless you're the president or somebody, I guess. But we did make got on the second time. The first day we didn't make it, so we played Carnoustie. But it's a great course, beautiful course.
Fantastic. And on Sundays, you get to roam it, you know, not this week, but on Sundays, it's open to anybody. You know, with dogs, picnics, you can sit down and enjoy the ambiance. Thanks so much for being on the show. You know what that music means. It means I have to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha, Kellen. Aloha, Ken. Thank you, Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Now, these systems, you know, you whip out your smartphone, you pull up your laptop, and you can check out what, oh, I don't know, what's your dog's name, Frank? What's Frank doing in the kitchen? Who left that out? Frank's making a mess. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the whole world on your laptop or your smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, or Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company. Creative plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a big one or a small one, a custom home, a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, absolutely beautiful. It hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Just think, they're trying to figure out where to bring the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf. Wouldn't it be cool if they came back to Hawaii? Back to Poipu Bay Golf Course? It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. That's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.